Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the DCM Shriram Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Rangnekar.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to DCM Shriram Limited's quarter three and nine months FY23 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Ajay Shriram, Chairman and Senior Managing Director, Mr. Vikram Shriram, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ajit Shriram, Joint Managing Director, Mr. K.K. Kaul, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, CFO of the company. We shall commence with remarks from Mr. Ajay Shriram and Mr. Vikram Shriram. Members of the audience will get an opportunity to pose their queries to the management following these comments during the interactive question and answer session. Before we begin, please note that some of the statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and a note to that effect has been included in the conference call invite circulated earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Ajay Shriram to give us a brief overview. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for making the time to join us for our Q3 and nine-month financial year 2023 earnings conference call. Before I start, I would like to wish all of you a very happy and healthy 2023. I will commence with perspectives on industry environment and the strategic imperatives for us. That will then be followed by Vikram, who will share the operating and financial performance of the group. Calendar year 2023 has commenced on a comparatively positive note, with factors impacting global growth, which seem to be abating. China is reopening, the U.S. is seeing milder, though persistent inflation, and the EU experiencing warmer than normal winters. Central banks of leading economies are expected to continue to take interest rates upwards at a lower pace. Recession may be around the corner, although may not be as deep. However, the geopolitical risks continue, and the era of low energy and commodity prices may not come back in the near term. Given these factors, the operating business environment is expected to be challenging. Our businesses have been performing consistently through our economic uncertainties despite the pandemic interrupted years. Our continuous investment in scale, integration, innovation, and value creation have limited the negative impact of such volatile operating environments. All our businesses today are self-sustainable and are in investment mode. Our CapEx program of about rupees 3,500 crores has now started fructifying, with sugar expansion largely commissioned. The 120 MW power project is likely to be commissioned in this quarter, and other projects are almost on target and shall make us more resilient to inclement events while positioning us attractively for value-creating growth. With this round of CapEx nearing completion, we are actively looking at opportunities in related and adjacent businesses to foster future growth. While we are actively pursuing further growth, we are taking steps to ensure that it is backed by sustainability initiatives to increase use of green energy, resource conservation, and circular economy. We already are 11 times water positive, and 36% of the total energy consumed in our operations is green. With that, I would like to walk you through perspectives on our various businesses. Chemicals. Global capacity utilization in chlor-alkali is at a lower level, given higher energy costs and moderation in construction activities. No major capacities are getting added globally in the near term other than in India, which will keep the global demand-supply balance over the medium term. In domestic market, There is surplus led by capacity additions of nearly 1 million tons during this year. Despite these challenges, our plants are operating at over 90% capacity utilization. Domestic surplus, along with global demand pressures, is putting pressure on caustic soda prices. Import prices retraced to $650 per metric ton towards quarter end after crossing $700 per metric ton in October 2022. India stepped up exports with 9 months financial year 23 net exports at 2.06 lakh tons as against 0.02 lakh tons in the same period last year. As the energy prices have stayed elevated, we have dynamically moved to 40% grid power to migrate the impact. We are committed to bringing down the cost of power with our proposed new 120 megawatt power plant and 50 megawatt green power. Today, we are the highest hydrogen selling complex in India with daily volumes of approximately 2 lakh cubic meters. Overall, operating margins are reasonable, although they are off from the historic peaks. Plans to leverage other value-creating chemistries, including commissioning of our epichlorohydrin and hydrogen peroxide during the subsequent financial year, will catalyze the performance of the business and multiple revenue streams will make it more resilient. Vinyls. Recession fears and high inflation has led to negative demand sentiment in the construction and housing sectors globally and in turn has impacted the PVC demand and the global prices. China continues to push its production into India and government's decision on anti-dumping duty and customs duty on PVC are still awaited. PVC prices appear to have bottomed out. Domestic demand is strong and investments being stepped up in home construction, automotive and piped water segments. We have been able to reduce the cost of power at our Kota complex with significant jump in use of biomass to 20% from 11% of the fuel mix, which is also helping reduce the carbon footprint. Even though vinyl business margins are under pressure, they are expected to improve with the expected correction in prices. Sugar. Globally, sugar output and consumption have been balanced in the last couple of years with a surplus or deficit of 1 or 2 million tons. India has become an active participant in the global trade flows. Government has allocated a quota of 6 million metric tons for current year, which has been almost tied up. Most of it has been almost tied up. With India production estimated at 36 million tons, industry is expecting additional export quotas. International sugar prices have been firm. Domestic sugar prices have not offset the increase in SAP in the last season. The UP sugar industry needs a balanced government policy for sugar export as well as cane juice based ethanol to remove regional imbalances. We started crushing operations in November 2022 and the crop is looking good. Our domestic releases have been better this season, and we have tied up our entire export quota allotted to us with approximately 51% already executed. Our projects for sugar expansion at Ajbapur and conversion of Haryama and Ajbapur plants to refined sugar and 120 kiloliters per day distillery have been successfully commissioned. Our grain-based 120 kiloliter per day distillery will also get commissioned shortly. The K2SO4 project to capture value from distillery ash is another project in circular economy and is running on track. Our agri businesses, input businesses comprise of Shriram Farm Solutions, Bioseed and fertilizers. Shriram Farm Solutions has continued to make inroads in the wheat seed market with its leadership position. Our focus on such research-backed offerings in seeds as well as plant nutrition and crop care, together with strong brand and distribution, is working in our favor. Plans to produce water-soluble fertilizers and biologicals are on track and will be commissioned by Q4 financial year 24. Our manufacturing of biologicals-based agri-inputs is our conscious choice to promote sustainable and organic farming. Bioseeds has fared well during the Rabi season, with growth witnessed across corn, paddy, and vegetables. The product pipeline is strong, and we believe that this business should turn around over a period of 1 or 2 years. The fertilizer business has seen a strong rise in prices on the back of higher gas prices. The gas prices went up by almost 90% to $24 per million BTU, and these are a pass-through. The government has favorably revised energy norms with effect from October 1, 2020. Subsidy outstanding as on December 31, 2022 stood at rupees 461 crores as compared to 450 crores in the same period last year. The industry is comfortably placed on this account as the Government of India has doubled overall subsidy budget to rupees 2.2 lakh crores for this year. Fenesta continues to record strong growth. We have seen healthy volumes as well as margin gains. This business will grow aggressively through new product portfolios, where we are already adding facades, a wider geographical presence in domestic and international markets, a better product range, and higher service quality. Order booking has sustained at a healthy level. We are making good progress across outlined initiatives on growth and sustainability. These programs will strengthen businesses in face of volatility in coming years, as well as place us better on the value growth curve. Greater emphasis is being put on sustainability of businesses, driving further benefits as we will build scale in selected businesses. With that, I will now request Vikram to take forward the discussion with the views on the operating and financial performance. Vikram, over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. We will now go through the financial highlights of the results of Q3 and 9 months financial year 23. The net revenues, net of excise duty in this quarter were up 19% year-on-year at rupees 3,236 crores. The chloralkali business revenues were up 3% year-on-year at rupees 757 crores. Capacity utilization levels were at 86%, primarily due to maintenance shutdown in the month of December at Bharuch, which is now currently operating at over 90% after the shutdown. Vinyl revenues declined by 33% year-on-year at rupees 204 crores on account of lower prices, which are now recovering. PVC prices were down by 42% year-on-year, and carbide prices were down 32% year-on-year. Product volumes were better. Sugar business revenues, net of excise duty, were up 29% year-on-year at rupees 728 crores on account of better sales volumes of sugar led by higher domestic releases and exports. Ethanol sales volumes were lower at rupees 231 versus 267 lakh liters. In terms of production, sugar production was lower at 16.5 versus 17.4 lakh quintals, since 42 lakh quintals of sugar cane crushed this year is on B-heavy instead of C-heavy molasses last year, and therefore more ethanol. Ethanol production was higher at 840 versus 733 lakh liters for the 9 months. In the agri-inputs, all businesses reported strong revenues. SFS increased 15%, year-on-year at rupees 512 crores, witnessing better price realizations and product mix. Bioseed increased 34% year-on-year at rupees 107 crores, mainly attributed to volume growth across verticals in rabi crops. Both India and international businesses reported growth of 42% and 18% year-on-year respectively. Fertilizer saw a 78% year-on-year increase in revenues at rupees 652 crores, driven by higher gas prices, which is a pass-through and higher volume. Natural gas prices for the quarter 3, financial year 23, were at $24 per million BTU, all up almost 90%. Fenesca delivered revenues of rupees 178 crores, an increase of 31% year-on-year, led by higher volumes both in projects and retail segments. The order book increased 11% year-on-year. Coming to profitability in Q3 financial year 23, PBDIT stood at ₹588 crores, down by 4%. Chemicals PBDIT at ₹218 crores versus ₹286 crores during Q3 financial year 22, led by higher fire power costs despite marginally better yeast use. Cost of production continues to remain elevated, especially in Bharuch, where we are dependent on imported coal. Vinyl PBDIT was at rupees 19 crores versus rupees 125 crores during the same period last year due to significantly lower realization. PVC and carbide prices have recovered since November 22 and costs have taken a breather with better fuel mix, wherein we have been able to utilize more of biomass as fuel for our power plants in Kota. Sugar business PBDIT stood at rupees 108 crores, seeing a decline of 18% year-on-year, as sugar prices were marginally lower and increase in SAP last year has not been fully compensated in sugar prices. Higher volumes of sugar partially mitigated this impact. Agri-inputs business reported better numbers for the reasons stated above and better margins. Also, the government revised energy norms in fertilizer business retrospectively, having a positive impact of rupees 49 crores, and bioseed business, which had inventory provisions last year, were not there this year. Fenesta PBDIT at rupees 40 crores registered a growth of 87% year-on-year, led by higher volumes and margins in both segments. 9 months financial year 23 net revenues, net of excise duty, were up 29% year-on-year at rupees 8,827 crores, and PBDIT increased by 11% year-on-year to rupees 1,354 crores. Growth was seen across most business segments other than vinyl, with some businesses like Fenesta and Farm Solutions growing more aggressively. With healthy cash flows across our businesses, our debt levels remain at comfortable levels despite the continuing capex. The surplus net of debt as on 31st December 2022 was at rupees 101 crore versus net debt of 4 crores on 31st March 22. Return on capital employed for December 22 was higher at 34% versus 29% for December 21. The board has recommended an interim dividend of 290%, amounting to rupees 90.5 crores in the recent board meeting. Total dividend, including quarter two, is 520%, amounting to rupees 162 crores. Despite the uncertain macro scenario and slight elevated costs, we have performed well. We aspire to grow aggressively, maintain a healthy balance sheet and strong cash flows. We will now take questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ahmed Madha from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So first question is on the farm solutions business. We have executed very well in the current season. So can you throw some light on what has helped the margin expansion in this business from 21% to 28%? And most importantly, how sustainable is that going into the next season next year?
Yeah, I think the farm solutions business, because of the sourcing of the seeds, as well as from the point of view of having the spread of the market, that they have been able to maintain their margin. They've also been through a little overhaul of the distribution network, which has also helped in terms of streamlining that a little bit. But, you know, a lot of this depends also on what is the competitive environment, what is the monsoon situation, what is supply and demand. So I think it's a mix of many parameters which ultimately affect the margins which come in on any business for that matter, even in this business. But I think we have a good product, we have a good line, so I think we should be able to maintain our margins fairly okay.
Got it. On the sugar side, what is the quota for exports this season and how much we have exported so far?
The quota for exports, what we got was 10.6 lakh quintals. We executed 50% of that. And but we have contracted the entire thing. We will export the entire thing by March.
Okay, got it. And what realizations?
The realization around 3,900.
Okay, got it. And on the ethanol side, you have written that there is some inventory of ethanol there. So is it fair to expect that we will able to clear the inventory in Q4?
Yes, because these are, you know, timing differences depending on how the tender has gone and what you've produced. So this will get even off in next quarter.
Got it. And what was the mix of ethanol this quarter between direct juice and BAV-CAV?
So largely it is through BAV.
The third question was on the caustic side. So there is some softening in the prices globally, and even if we look at from say October to November, there is significant decline in the prices, and as of today in January, there is the prices are much lower than the realizations were in Q3. So do you expect any further decline in profitability in caustic, or we'll see we'll be maintaining the margins because the cost coal price have also declined? So how should we look forward in the caustic business?
I think there are two parameters which impact this. One is what is the international price of caustic soda. That has an impact because people are open to import anything what they want, whenever they want. I think the second thing which the industry has done well is actually pushed exports of caustic soda. That has helped, as I mentioned earlier also, that there is a surplus of caustic, the new capacity is coming. So industry is aware of that. So industry is moving aggressively to export, and that is one way to balance out the availability in the domestic market. So I think considering that, there should be a balance, but ultimately we have to realize that caustic soda is a commodity. It moves up and down. Compared to a year ago, the prices have come down. But a year ago, the prices were much higher than what they were 2 years ago. So I think these are commodities which move up and down. But I think the industry attempt is to keep it at a balance and not let it go down too much.
And Ahmed, I would just like to add that, you know, the levels that we've seen both in caustic and in PVC, where for last couple of quarters we saw margins as high as 40%. Now these are, I would say, abnormal margins. Normal margins are in the range of 25% to 30%, and I feel that we should be able to sustain those kind of margins. Yes, PVC today is a little lower, but on an average, we should be at around 25%.
Okay, got it. And one more question on the numbers side is that the tax rate has been very high for the last few quarters. In the earlier call, you guided that from FY24, our MAT credit will be utilized and we'll be moving to 25% tax rate regime. So how should we look at the reported tax rate going forward, and how much MAT credit is still left on the books?
So the MAT credit that is left in the books currently is around 53 crores, which we should exhaust in the current financial year. Next year we will have to see whether we move to the Yeah, so we'll have to see whether we move to the new tax regime or not. So we take the call on a regular basis. We review the position and then we decide. Obviously, we don't see net-net, we want to see that the cash flow is low. So if you see currently we are paying outflow is equivalent to MAT, so we ensure that we keep it low.
Got it, got it. Fine, fine. Thank you. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Riya from Aequitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening. This is Pratiksha here from Aequitas.
Yeah.
My first question was, you know, with the news about China opening up, how do we see demand supply playing out for caustic and PVC? And mainly, you know, we've been saying that there's a lot of China participation, increased participation from China. So how does that impact the supply side? If you could share your opinion on that.
I think briefly, with China opening up again, what's going to happen is that the trade with China is going to go up. As I mentioned earlier, that China PVC is, they are dumping virtually PVC into India. So that we've taken up with the government separately to impose some duties so that, you know, that will balance that part out. But I think if the Chinese economy pick up, then the demand overall for many products will pick up, which will actually impact and make sure that India's chance to export also goes up a little bit. So that's going to be an advantage for us.
Okay. And how has chlorine price been for the whole of last quarter, and if you could highlight the prices in December and January so far?
Amit, could you share that?
Yeah. So see, chlorine prices are improving. So our Q3 was almost negative 10,000, and now they're improving. So yeah, so we should see an improvement in January and February.
Okay, but it's still negative, I assume.
It is still negative.
Okay. And thirdly, we expect our ECH plant to be commissioned in first half of next year, FY24. So how is the pricing on that front, and do we still expect to be able to ramp this up as per our original plan?
So, see,
yeah. Amit, go ahead.
See, you need to look at an investment from a medium to long-term perspective. So the reason why we put up ECH is that we see epoxy market growing and the epoxy derivatives growing, and ECH is the key raw material to epoxy. Right? So yes, there is pressure on prices currently in ECH, but in the medium term, we do see the market picking up, and it is going to be an attractive play. That is point number one. In terms of ramping up, see, it takes time to ramp up an ECH plant because it has to be, the product has to be qualified with the users, which takes 1 to 2 months domestically, or maybe 3 months domestically, and internationally it can take anywhere between 9 months approximately. So the ramp up will happen accordingly. So it will take some time to ramp up the project. So this was all factored in when we had planned this project.
Okay. My next question is, this time we have said that we have some unsold inventory on ethanol front, significantly higher as compared to last year. So any particular reason why we have such a big inventory built up?
So these are timing differences, Pratiksha, because the way tender has been put up and way the supplies have to be made. But net-net, it all gets squared off over a period of 1 to 2 quarters.
Okay, understood. And lastly, on Fenesta front, I think 9 months we've almost had margin improvement of 700 to 800 basis points. So are these margins sustainable, or where do we see, you know, margins kind of, what are sustainable margins for this business?
The sustainable margins will be a function of what kind of product mix that we are having and we are going to launch. But we are pretty confident to maintain the EBITDA margins in the range of 15 to 20% because also as the scale is going up, it has its impact on EBITDA. So we do see that we should see those margins, that range going forward.
Typically with the expansion that we have in mind in this division, what is the growth rate that we target in the medium term? I mean, I'm just asking from a midterm perspective, not really for a couple of quarters or something.
Fenesta should grow in the range of around 25%+ year on year.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. And Namaskar. Thank you for this opportunity, sir. And indeed, a very elaborate presentation, your opening commentary. It all serves the purpose for which the call is being led. So many thanks to the team for working for us, analysts, investors, and doing a lot for us in the type of input we get from the size of the company like DCM. So kudos to the team, firstly. Yeah, sir. Sir, if we take the CapEx part first, we are spending around 2,800 crores worth of projects are on track, and I think the total CapEx is 3,500 that we have envisaged. So how much has been spent for 9 months? What is the CapEx target for the coming year? And when this the entire thing will get consummated and post that CapEx, how will be the revenue profile for various verticals?
Amit, you'll have to look at that.
So, see, we have spent in chemicals, we have spent close to about 1250 odd crores. And in sugar, as I said, it's almost complete. So the sugar CapEx was close to about 550 crores. We have spent close to about 500 crores already in sugar as well. So that's the kind of number that's already been spent. That's point number one. In terms of revenue, see, as I mentioned a while back, the ramp up will take time. So our capacity utilization in the first year should be, in the chemicals business, should be ballpark around 50%. And then it should get ramped up over year two, year three.
So for the chemical, can you give breakup? Is the entire contribution to our 1250 is towards the costing part, or if provide the breakup of the sales?
Can you be a bit louder? I can get your question, please.
Sir, for 1250 crore and on the chemical segment, please provide the split. Where have we spent? If the breakup, if you could provide.
I don't have it right away. Sorry, again, maybe I'll send it across to you. I don't have it right in front of me.
Right, sir. You, Mr. Amit, you spoke about the chlorine negative being lower than what the December averages were. So can you give some color in the vicinity what have from 10,000 negative, whether it is 6,000 or 9,000, any
number? It's below 5,000 now.
It's below 5,000 now.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, I think so the geographies also, there is a variation. I think so north does not command that much of negative for chlorine as the west is. So you are giving the average for both Bharuch and both the regions, Kota and Bharuch, or this is how to take this number?
This is Bharuch. See, Kota for almost 30-35% gets consumed in-house. So and that's a smaller complex. The larger complex is Bharuch. So I'm giving you Bharuch numbers.
Okay. Right, sir. Sir, if we take this slide number 16, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Slide number 16 says the ECU realization mentioned here for the December is at 38,628.
So, and our averages for the December quarter were higher of 43,000. So there was a further correction that has happened. That is the further negative of chlorine that is factored in here for the ECU being at 38,700, minus sub 40,000 levels?
No, so this is primarily because of light prices coming down.
Come again, sir?
This is primarily because of light prices coming down.
Caustic
soda prices coming down. Yes.
Okay. So, sir, net of, sir, the realization, if we take the ECU realization for, say, December onwards, they are below the 40,000 numbers, sir.
Yes, so they are around the December levels.
Okay, no, I was just pointing out to this 38628 number, sir. If you could explain from this 38628 number, where are we, northward or southward?
So see, in our kind of business, it's difficult to give you exact number. As I said, it is range bound, plus minus 1,000.
Correct, sir. And again, on slide number 17, as been mentioned, that oversupply due to new capacities and lower demand, lower than expected exports. Sir, as you mentioned that there has been a good kick in the amount of export that has happened when a comparative number is there. So what are you trying to explain us when you mentioned lower than expected export?
Yeah, so see, so we have had good exports in the first two quarters. However, in Q3, the exports have been less than what we expected. So the growth that we expected was much more. So this is more of a market condition. And what's happening is that with China opening up, I won't say so much of opening up, because China manufactures caustic more in its northern provinces where the production did not take a hit, right? And they were actually increasing production and pushing their production in the European countries, right? And Southeast Asian countries, and which led to lower than expected exports in Q3.
Sir, I missed your last statement.
Something in first two quarters there were good amount of exports. In Q3, the quantum of exports from the country has been lower than what was expected. What we expected we can export as an industry, it was lower than that.
Okay. And what is the contracted volume, sir? Earlier, I think so. You were giving us some idea of how from the west what was the contracted volume for a quarter or two quarters.
Numbers are mentioned in slide number 17 on the industry overview section.
Okay, sir, then I could look at the thing. Sir, if we take the correlation for the vinyl and the caustic part, as mentioned that as the chlorine consumption improves, it will add to the ECU realization. So going ahead, do we see stabilization in both the caustic as well as the vinyl businesses and the volatility that one or the other has experienced over the last 3 to 4 quarters is now subsiding? Is this a good assumption going ahead?
Saket, is difficult given the macro environment, both the geopolitical environment, the COVID fears, there are so many supply chain disruptions, the climate impact. I think it's very difficult to give an estimate as to how things will pan out. Yes, there is a correlation. At times, this correlation doesn't work also, if there are supply chain disruptions. So I think it's an open field. But yeah, we do expect, as I've mentioned, we are operating at 90% capacity utilization, both in our caustic as well as in our PVC. And we expect that we should continue to operate at those levels.
Sorry to interrupt. May we request Mr. Kapoor to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for their turn.
Yes, madam.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I joined the call a bit late, so probably I must have missed out this point. PVC front, so we have...
Thank you, Mr. Nagraj, but your voice is not clear, sir.
Okay. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Nagraj.
Yeah.
Mr. Nagraj, your voice is breaking a lot. We are unable to hear you, sir.
Yeah. One second. Is this better?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah.
So the first question is on PVC. I might have missed the comment earlier during the initial remarks. So whether the Chinese supplies have been curtailed or the dumping has stopped as per our assessment?
No, that has not happened. Until about 6 months ago, there was anti-dumping duty, which was applicable on any product coming in, PVC coming in from China. Unfortunately, that anti-dumping duty time period expired. So industry has taken it up again with the ministry, saying, please bring in anti-dumping duty against China, because they are dumping at a much lower price than the international prices also, and that is affecting the Indian manufacturers. So this issue is in discussion with the government.
Okay, fair enough. So second question is on the epichlorohydrin. So we and there is another competitor who has already put up the capacity. We are also putting up the capacity. However, the domestic demand is maybe 60% of the total capacity. So what are our plans in terms of utilizing this incremental capacity? Are we looking at exports market, and have we thought about it? How are we going to utilize it? Thank you.
Amit?
I think the total domestic demand is about 80 kilotons per annum. And the capacities you just talked about, one capacity which already come in, and the capacity that we are putting up will add up to close to about 100 kilotons per annum. Right? Now, and but then, you know, historically it has all been imports. So then it takes time for import to get substituted. And till that time, yes, there will be a mix of exports as well. And we do have a cost advantage on ECH in terms of chlorine, which is either negative or negligible. So yeah, so we will also look at both options of exports and domestic.
Right, fair enough. So just one last clarification again, I might have missed out in the initial comments. On the caustic front, any particular user segments which have seen a demand contraction for the caustic, because of which the ECU has declined, apart from, say, chlorine negative realizations?
No, I don't think that's happened. I don't think anyone has really reduced their demand. What has happened is that new capacity has come in, as was mentioned earlier also. So that has led to excess availability. So industry approach is, how do we export more so that the surplus in the Indian market moves out of India? So it focuses on that side. But it's good to see down the line that the consumption side of caustic will also go up. There is expected to be growth in the aluminum segment and a couple of other segments, by which the consumption of aluminum will, of caustic soda, will go up over the next couple of years.
Right. Got it, sir. Thank you for answering all the questions, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Veera from Abakkus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, again, the
Hello.
Similar question to the previous participant. If 1 million ton incremental capacity gets added, it's almost like 20% of the current existing capacity.
Mr. Rahul Veera, may we request you to please speak a bit louder? We cannot hear you, sir.
Sure. Can you hear me now better?
Yes, please go ahead.
Sure. So with 1 million ton incremental capacity, and if we are expecting 50% utilization in first year itself, and I assume most of the participants will continue to look at similar kind of utilization. So, you know, given the domestic demand, plus China opening up, and as you mentioned, in Q3, they have also started exporting, right? Because our exports went down. So how will this impact the domestic prices? Just trying to understand the whole dynamics over 1 year from now.
This, you're talking about caustic soda or PVC?
Caustic soda, sir.
So caustic soda actually is a tradable product, which India has actually increased its exports over the last 8-10 months compared to what was there in the previous period. And the effort of the industry is to increase it further. So I think exports will be a focus and thrust area for the entire industry to try to bring about some balance in the domestic market.
Okay. And
So just to add, I think we had commented earlier that on a global basis, there are no capacity additions in the rest of the world. In fact, there would be some reduction possibly in Europe because of high energy costs, etc. All the additional that's happening is in India. So from that perspective also, India is in a better position to export.
Sure, sir. Fair point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pratik Tholiya from Systematix. Please go ahead. Mr. Pratik Tholiya, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand in caustic, while the realizations have also slightly dipped in December, but our EBITDA per ton has come off quite sharply. So on the cost side, what has really impacted us?
Amit, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, so it's primarily on the energy side, Pratik. The energy costs have not come off, and actually if I compare the same period last year, energy costs are lower than what they are today. And again, it's a mix of what inventory we had at that time. We were carrying low-cost inventory, relatively low-cost inventory. And now it's, over the period, it has come up to the level of international prices as they are right now. So, as long as the national prices remain firm, the energy prices will remain firm, and therefore our costs will remain firm.
Okay, going forward also, you are not expecting any improvement in the cost. And there was this power plant also which was coming up, which I think you had mentioned that there could be some, reduction in the cost because of that. So what is the update on that?
You're right. So there will be reductions coming over the period. One, because of 120 megawatt power plant, which will be commissioned in this quarter. And 50 megawatt of green power, which will also start coming in partially maybe in this quarter, early next quarter, but all of it will start coming in Q2 of next year. So once these two things happen, yes, our costs will come down. But the large play will come only when the coal costs come down. Mm-hmm. These are all mitigating measures that we are taking. And we are also looking at increasing our biomass. So all these efforts we are taking, which will definitely help. But coal will still remain the key.
Understood. And so secondly, in sugar, I mean ethanol, can you give the breakup for your volumes between, C-heavy, B-heavy and juice during the quarter?
Just give me a second. So during the quarter, so the B-heavy production during the quarter has been 146 lakh liters. C was minuscule 8.4, and cane juice was 71. All put together 226.
226.
Lakh liters.
This is the production. Sorry, I wanted the sale volume. Because it's 231, breakup of this 231 that you have given in the presentation.
Sure.
I think sales volume cannot be given and exactly the source of production of ethanol because it's all mixed together when it's sold off. But I think the total is Amit is just giving you the total.
Right. No, I just wanted to understand what is the average realization for us in this ethanol.
Pratik, in our investor presentation, we have shared the realizations.
No, what you've shared is the breakup of realization, as in for different raw material. But what is your realization considering for this 231 liters that you've sold?
Yeah. It's in a similar proportion because largely it is B-heavy, Pratik.
Okay.
Almost 90% is B-heavy.
90% is B-heavy. Understood. And sir, in farm solutions, I think we've done phenomenal performance, especially considering that whatever commentary we've heard of couple of companies which have come up with results last week, and what we are also not expecting you know, others to also report these type of numbers. So can you just, you know, throw some light on what's really happening in our farm solution, considering our margins have touched, you know, almost 28%. Especially we are, you know, still in the trading sort of business. We don't have too much of backward integration or anything. So if you could just help us understand what really has clicked for us in third quarter, and how should one look at this business going forward?
You know, our farm solutions is actually under three verticals. One is the seeds business, the other is the crop care business, and the third is the fertilizer type businesses, which is soluble fertilizers and further added value-added fertilizers. So in the seeds business, fortunately, our research team has done a good job to get a good quality wheat seed and a couple of other seeds which are demanding a good pull in the marketplace. So that helps us in terms of selling our product early and moving well. So that has been a big thrust in terms of the benefit to the farm solutions business. Plus, besides wheat, they are into a range of other seeds also which are doing well. That's a good advantage. In the crop care business, similarly, we are getting some formulations made by people which is helping us. We are doing a little work in depth with some companies to help us make products which can, you know, add value in the marketplace and differentiate us. So that's also moving. So that's another focus area. And as I said, when you have nutrient-based fertilizers, we are getting into manufacturing now, water-soluble fertilizers, bio-fertilizers, etc. Plus, we've got a whole range of other fertilizers which are specialty use for particular crops, which add value. So I think it's a focus on all three of these verticals, which is helping the business across the board.
Sure. But sir, since wheat is largely a rabi crop and Q3 will be very heavy for the wheat business, so going forward, would it be safe to assume that, you know, this was rather seasonally good for us, but going forward, these type of numbers may not be easy to replicate?
You know, I'll be honest. I mean, these sort of products, agriculture is a business where the requirement for fertilizer peaks during particular seasons, the requirement for seeds peaks during particular seasons. So that's a given. So I think one has to look at the year in totality to come to a total average figure of how things are moving. We had the same advantage with our seeds last year also. And we are planning in terms of our growing, getting the growth of seeds, which we are going to sell next year. The planning is on for that. So we make sure that we have a good quantity of good quality seed available for next year too. So it's an ongoing activity. It's not a one-year sort of a one-shot deal. It's an ongoing activity.
Sure, understood. And in fertilizers, so there is this 49 crores of some retrospective impact. Didn't actually understand that.
Amit, you can just explain that.
Yeah, Pratik, so the energy norms, they were revised in November 22 with retrospective effect of October 2020. So there was a particular, so we were accounting on norms on a particular basis. However, the norms that were announced in November 2022, which is in this financial year, so they were higher than what we were accounting for, because we also do on a formula basis. So then therefore there was this gain from October 2020 to September 22. And this gain, you know, month on month, this will continue till March, because these norms are applicable or have been announced till September, till March 23. And after that, again, we'll have to wait for the new norms to be announced.
So how much we can expect in fourth quarter?
So, the month-on-month, quarter-on-quarter impact is anywhere between 6 to 7 crores in the delta impact of these norms.
Okay. So roughly seven odd crores additional we can expect due to these norms, revision in the norms.
Which is like, you know, fertilizer for being Q4 should be giving me an EBITDA of around 35 crores ballpark.
Okay. Understood. And then lastly, I think even Fenesta seems to be doing phenomenally well. You also mentioned a guidance of around 25% plus revenue growth.
Sorry, can you be a bit louder, please?
Yeah, so I'm saying that Fenesta also has reported, extremely strong numbers in this quarter. Even on the margin front, we are acting at the peak margin of 19-odd%. So if you could just, guide us on in terms of margins for Fenesta going forward, this sort of run rate is possible, because I think we would have also benefited from slightly lesser, lower PVC prices. Or you think that, this margins would sustain even if PVC goes up?
Yeah, so
see, Fenesta carries a couple of months inventory of profiles, so the PVC prices don't pass through immediately.
Sure.
Because of the huge variety involved. They have several hundred SKUs in terms of variety of profiles. So I don't think there would be such a quick pass-through of inventory valuation. But yes, to some extent they may have been.
So Pratik, the way to look at is that if you see in FY22 also, my overall margin in the business is 15%. So the range, one, as the scale increases, it will have an impact on the margins. So as I mentioned earlier, for this business, depending on the product mix as well as on the scale, we should expect a margin in this range, 15 to 20% going forward.
Fair enough, sir. I think that's it from my side. Thank you so much for answering my questions and wish you all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavna Israni from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to check on the more clarity on the coal availability in the local market and how the prices are moving and what we can expect in the coming months.
The availability in the local market has improved over the last 2-3 months, and it's also the prices are also marginally lower, but how long it will continue is something that we'll have to see, because the production locally are also going up and people are also switching from imported, which at this point is relatively higher price compared to the domestic coal. But yes, we do expect that improvement to continue for at least another one quarter.
Okay. So, thank you, sir. This is from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jagjit Singh from BA Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Could you, sir, please inform me about the quantum of crush which happened in this quarter versus last year and the gross recovery?
I'll give you a number till up to the current season, 15th of Jan.
Sure.
Our total crush has been 262 lakh quintals.
262.
Vis-a-vis 263 lakh quintals in the previous season, till 15th of Jan.
Okay.
And the recovery on sea molasses basis is at about 10.9%, vis-a-vis 10.7% in the same period last year.
This is the gross recovery, right?
Which was CIV. I mean, it depends how you are making the sugar, whether it's CIV or BAV. So, but I'm talking of C, on C basis, it is at this, these levels.
Okay. So recovery has gone up slightly up.
20 bps, yes.
Okay, and do you expect it to further go down, go up as the season progresses?
Recovery does improve. Now, whether the delta improves or not is difficult to say between the previous and the current season. But yes, the recovery does improve in Q4.
Okay, the weather had been a bit cold in last few days, last month. So, do you think it will have negative impact on the cane which is going to be crushed going forward?
I think, the issue has been the late rainfall which we had in the month of September and October.
Okay.
That is the reason why we had to delay our crush start. and the crush levels are roughly similar to what they were last year, in spite of expansion. I don't think that this cold wave is going to have much of an impact, but once the plant cane starts to come in, we'll get a better feel, say from end January, early February onwards.
Okay, and any issue of disease in the crop?
See, the current variety has a very high susceptibility of red rot.
Okay.
So what we are doing is consciously we are reducing our dependence on this variety, and we are increasing our bouquet of the varieties in the field, so that we are not dependent on one variety, which is red rot susceptible.
Is the crush going to be the same this year, or do you expect it to increase for the entire sugar season?
I think it's a bit early to say right now, but we do expect increase.
Okay, and any comment on the closure of factories in Maharashtra? Has it already? It's coming in the news that it will get started in the middle of February.
We have an Indian Sugar Mills Association meeting at the end of the month.
Okay.
So one will get a little feel from Maharashtra then. I think it will be a little immature or improper for us to comment on that right now.
Okay. And there was a charge on usage of molasses internally. Is it something new, or was it happening ever since?
So this was the charge on captive transfer of molasses.
Mm-hmm.
It had come in the previous season as well, a little late in the previous season, in January is what they had announced.
Okay.
But then it was contested, but this year again it has been announced.
All right. Right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Parth Vasani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My question was that we are coming up with the hydrogen peroxide plant of around 1 lakh tons per annum. So where do you see the application of this other than the traditional use of it?
The capacity of the plant is about 52,000 tons per annum, and the usage of hydrogen peroxide is largely similar usages as of caustic soda. So it goes primarily, but in the largest is paper. It goes to paper, textiles, and some other HPPO and some other uses. But paper is the largest user of hydrogen peroxide.
Okay, but how we see the market of the hydrogen peroxide to increase? I mean, any estimation at what level, what percentage it will grow in next 5 years maybe?
See, the current market is about 180 kilotons per annum, and expected to increase, as these core sector industries will grow, like paper and all that, they'll also grow, so let's say, in line with the GDP. About 5-6%, that's the kind of growth one can estimate for these businesses.
Okay. And in terms of the hydrogen peroxide, definitely we have a hydrogen that would be coming from the chloralkali. So, is it feasible to sell hydrogen makes more sense, or to enter into hydrogen peroxide makes more sense? Because hydrogen is a major raw material, hydrogen peroxide. So if you can just throw some light on that.
Currently I am selling hydrogen close to about 2 lakh million cube is what I can sell currently. Now, going forward, I will be doing about 3 lakh million cube post-expansion. Right, and there is enough market also to sell hydrogen, but one needs to build flexibilities in its business, where it can use a captive use of hydrogen. And HCO2 will add more value definitely than the hydrogen itself, selling hydrogen itself. So it's a right product mix is what we are looking at.
Okay, so basically hydrogen peroxide is a kind of a step further to consume the hydrogen to sell in the market, right?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, so my third question and the last question would be in terms of the Adanis and the Reliance are coming up with the 3,500 metric tons of caustic soda and 2,200 tons of caustic soda, and also in the PVC, which puts around 1.6 million tons. So, I mean, we are into both the products. So how do you see the market? Will there be a pressure as we are coming with almost 850 tons per day of capacity of caustic soda?
I'll just add that, you know, their plants and production is going to come in, I think, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years later. It's not coming in tomorrow. So the market is going. So one is caustic, and as you rightly said about PVC, today India is importing over 50% of its PVC requirements. So coming in with local manufacturing of PVC will just make sure that the imports come down. So the demand in India is growing well, and our economy, if it grows at 7% plus, as we are estimating, over the next 8-10 years, the demand will keep going up. And commodities, we've seen from history the last 25 years, 30 years, whenever there's a jump in major installed or manufacturing capacity in any country, there is a pressure on prices for some time, but then it equals out. It balances out over a period of time with the growth in demand and the production coming in. So I think that commodity businesses see a little, if I may put it, a growth in a step way, not a smooth curve going up, but a step system. Because new capacity comes in, so there's a little stability in prices. Period of time, it goes up again when the demand becomes a little more. So we are not worried with new capacities coming in, because India is a very large market.
Okay, okay. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your participation in our Q3 Financial Year 23 Earnings Conference Call. We are committed to expanding our operations through growing our economies of scale, increasing efficiency, fostering innovation, and promoting a circular economy, and with a strong focus on sustainability. We also prioritize maintaining a strong financial position and continue to look for new avenues for growth. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of DCM Shriram Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.